Attention, Big Blue Nation. Welcome to Kentucky Basketball Then and Now, a unique exploration of America's Paramount Collegiate Hardwood Program, featuring anecdotes and memories from the 1950s forward to the very latest on everything UK hoops. Kentucky Basketball Then and Now seats Wildcat fans front court and center. Here's Lexington native and SEC standout Gary Waddell and Owensboro native and Rupp Front senior student manager Mike Harold.
Hello, and welcome to the first edition of Kentucky Basketball Then and Now. I'm Gary Waddell, and I'm here with my co-host, Mike Harrell. Mike and I have a unique perspective on Kentucky basketball, which is will be our main focus, in that we are around the program in the 1960s. The email address to interact with the show is chatwildcats, plural, at gmail.com, chatwildcats at gmail.com. Mike, would you tell the folks about your background?
Yes, thank you, Gary. I'm from Owensboro, Kentucky. Grew up listening to the games and rooting for the Big Blue. The western part of the state has always been a key supporter of the basketball program, but the interest when I was a child was even bigger because we had Bobby Watson, who later I'll mention as a high school basketball coach for the team I was a manager of, but he was a starting guard for Coach Rupp during the Ramsey Hagan eras and barely made it in the 1,000-point club. And then, of course, Frank Ramsey was from Madisonville, and Cliff Hagan was from Owensboro. So we had a lot of top stars from right around that area, which made things buzz even more. I wasn't quite good enough to make the team in high school, so I became the student manager, and I worked well with Coach Watson. And he recommended me to Coach Rupp and Coach Lancaster, and so I was one of eight people who got to try out as the manager for the varsity basketball team the first year I went to school. And by the end of the season, there was two of us left. The time commitment was huge, and just a lot of people didn't have the time and energy and interest. But I hung in there, and I was really glad I did. As the season progressed, Coach Rupp became comfortable with me. I was very interested in being as involved as I could be, and so I won the seat next to Coach Rupp on the bench. Back in those days, the team bench was in next to the basket, kind of in the end zone, if you will. And so he wanted a manager right next to the basket, and then him, and then Coach Lancaster, and then the players. And that was the hot seat because every request he had came through me, and there wasn't any cell phones or anything. It was all just verbal. So I usually kept two or three managers back behind me to turn around and get them to go run errands and stuff because he was constantly wanting things like tell the film crew to only film the first 10 minutes, and they'd be halfway up the stadium steps to tell him that, and he would decide, no, we better film the whole thing, so I'd have somebody else going up there. But I got to learn to work with him, and it was an amazing seat, sitting there listening to Coach Lancaster and Coach Rupp as the game progressed. Coach Lancaster was just a phenomenal basketball expert on the X's and O's, if you will, and so he was constantly telling Coach Rupp what was going on and things we probably ought to consider. Coach Rupp's role was more of the motivator and the get on the referees and keep things straight type guy. But I really enjoyed that. I got to do that for all 4 years. And on the road, I got to go to all the bus trip games until my senior year. Then I got to go on all of them. Up until then, there wasn't enough seats in the airplane except for one manager. But anyway, I enjoyed a very close relationship with Coach Rupp, and we'll touch on that as we go through the various podcasts. But they were certainly an interesting, dedicated, and intense pair of people, Coach Rupp and Coach Lancaster.
Mike, I grew up, as you know, I grew up in Lexington. I'm a proud native of Lexington. I grew up on the south side, very close to Southland Park, which has been the sports hub for the south side of Lexington for many years. It's got quite a few activities for teenagers, kids like me growing up in the summer. It's got two baseball diamonds. It's got a full basketball court. And probably most importantly, it's got a large swimming pool. I played basketball at Lafayette my sophomore and junior years, played for Herky Rupp, Adolph's son. Herky was a good man, but was not a basketball coach. We had not beaten a local team, Lexington team, for 2 years. And the parents were upset. The players were unhappy, playing for themselves, no teamwork and so forth. And so the parents got together at the end of my junior year, which would have been 1967, and set up a meeting with Dr. Potts. My parents were a big part of that and setting that meeting up. But the conversation didn't last long. Shortly into the conversation, Dr. Potts says, "I know you're here. I understand why you're here, and I agree with you, and the wheels are in motion to make a change." And then we found out later that Dr. Potts had already met with Herky and had given him 30 days to find a new position, or he would be forced to terminate him. And of course, I'm sure the last thing Dr. Potts wanted to do was terminate Adolph Rupp's son. But as luck would have it for the Rupps, a job, one of the top two or three basketball schools in the state at that time, Shelby County, became available. Shelby County had just won the state tournament 2 years earlier with Mike Casey and Bill Busey, and I would say the great Mike Casey. He was, in my opinion, one of the best guards ever to come out of Kentucky. And the superintendent of Shelby County Schools' son, Bill Busey, played for the Wildcats. He was going into his junior year, so I don't imagine it took a lot of prodding by the Rupps for Herky to get that job. My senior year was like a 180. Dr. Potts hired Jock Sutherland, who had been a graduate of Lafayette, played on one of the championship teams in the early 50s for Ralph Carlisle, and Jock just turned things around. He was well-known, well-liked around the state, came in with immediate credibility with me and all the players because he had had such success at Harrison County, and he turned things around. First thing he did before he even had a house for his family to live in, he got me together with him a couple nights a week and just worked me out, worked on footwork, shooting around the basket, and so forth. A couple weeks after that, Greg Austin, who was probably the best athlete in Kentucky at that time, excelled in football, quarterback, won the triple jump that year in the state tournament track meet, played baseball, was just a great all-around athlete, and received a basketball scholarship at Auburn. But Greg would join us, and then a couple weeks later, the whole team came in, so we got a good start, and we saw how Jock was going to operate things. It was being focused at practice, or you'd be embarrassed. He was sharp wit, and our senior year, we took a team that, again, couldn't beat a local team, and we went 21-4 my senior year. I didn't make All-City my junior year, and again, I give Jock the credit and hard work. I, senior year, was a first-team All-State player. My dad had season tickets for UK games starting when I was probably 12 or 13, so I rarely missed a UK game. Also in Lexington in the 60s, the state tournament was held at Memorial Coliseum quite a bit. And in Kentucky, state tournament's a big deal. Kentucky is still only one of three states that hasn't broken into the class systems, which means that state tournament, you may get a small mountain school playing against one of the big Louisville schools. And occasionally there'll be an upset. And of course, the fans really like that. And you can be at a game and the fans just get a sense that, well, this small school has got a chance. And they start rooting for the small school. And before the end of the game, typically there's 20,000 people at Rupp Arena pulling for the small, typically mountain school. Also, Lexington hosted, it's a defunct now, but hosted the East-West College All-Star Basketball Game, which was held 2 weeks after the Final Four. The last weekend was not called the Final Four then, but it was neat for me because I could go down Friday after school and watch these players. I remember rebounding for Gail Goodrich, who just 2 weeks earlier had scored 39 points in the championship game against Michigan to give John Wooden his second championship. Also, at our country club, every summer we had a UK basketball player as a lifeguard. The first one was Cotton Nash. Cotton was the best player at Kentucky at that time and kind of the golden boy. And his family had moved around, but his last high school year was in Louisiana. And at that time, the old Highwaymen song, Cotton Balls, was popular, and it just kind of fit Cotton Nash to a T. And then the next year, Pat Riley was our lifeguard. Pat wasn't nearly as friendly as was Cotton. He didn't want to have small talk with a 13, 14-year-old kid. But when he was learning to play golf that summer, he asked me to play with him late one afternoon, and I said, of course. And I remember on the second hole, a cart comes flying up. A guy gets out and says, Pat, Coach Rupp's in the pro shop and wants to talk to you. And I would doubt that Pat, in his 4 years at Kentucky, didn't move any faster than he did then to pick up his clubs, get in the cart, and be gone. And it just showed me the respect and probably more the fear that the players had of Adolph.
Well, that's a pretty interesting story, and I can certainly relate to it because, as I mentioned, I was not there where you specifically mentioned, but I was very involved in the program at that time. I wanted to take a side trip just a minute and talk about the football program that is just being outstanding this year. They've just been ranked number 7 in the AP poll, which is, I think, about as high as they've been in a long, long time. I think it's really maybe a little bit too high right now. They've only played really one good team. That was Florida, and they caused themselves some problems but showed their strength by being able to overcome those. So I think we really do have a super team, and they well could go 10-2 if they lose to Tennessee and Georgia. If they can win one of those games, obviously they'd be 11-1. All of the other games, they should be favored. The next game is going to be a tough one at Ole Miss this coming weekend. And then two games in a row at home, South Carolina and Mississippi State, followed by an open date. And then Tennessee away, which will be a really tough game. And then Missouri away, and then Vandy at home. And then November 19th, Georgia at home, which I don't think we can beat Georgia, but it might be a real interesting game. And then lastly, we got Louisville right after Thanksgiving. So a very good start to the program, and hopefully they'll continue that. And I wish them every good fortune. Gary, what did you think when the Basketball Cats went down and played in the Bahamas?
Mike, the football, we've talked, the stars are aligned this year for UK to have a great year. Eight of the 12 games are at home. The SEC East is still relatively weak. There's a bunch of cupcakes in there, South Carolina, Missouri, and then the other three cupcakes. They've already played two of those, so it should be a very good year. It was really neat for me to watch college basketball in August. You don't get to have that opportunity much, but I enjoyed all four games, watched every second of them. I think fans were most interested in seeing how Jacob Toppin looked. We'd heard through the press and call-in shows and so forth that he had improved over the spring and summer, and sure enough, he showed that down in the Bahamas. He got the ball, and he was open. He immediately took a shot. Didn't hesitate. He shot a number of threes and made a number of threes. Last year, he only shot three threes the entire season. So he looked better. I hope he takes after his brother. This is the time in Obi's career at Dayton where he shot up from nowhere to become the player of the year his third year at Dayton. And maybe Jacob will do the same thing. Jacob, like Obi, is extremely athletic, jumping ability, quickness, and so forth. Also, Sevier Wheeler, I thought, played well. He had lost weight, and I think he's looked like he's quicker than he was last year, if that's possible. The guy that I'm going to enjoy, I don't know how long he'll be at UK, but I'm confident Damon Collins at some point will be a heck of a player. He's jumps out of the gym, has a great second jump, and also unusual for a 6'10 guy. He's got a very good touch. I remember one game last year, he was 6 for 6 from the foul line. And you don't see that often with guys that large and that tall. But he looked more confident, and hopefully he can stay healthy and in for a good year. Unfortunately, at least on that small sample size, it doesn't look like Lance Ware had improved his shooting. He's still very popular, has been with the fans, because he'll get on the floor, mix it up, go after all the loose balls, but he doesn't shoot very well. Again, Lance always been popular with fans, but I think he endeared himself to the fans more so about a month ago when he was interviewed and the sports writer said, you know, you haven't played much your first 2 years here. It doesn't look like on paper you're going to play much this year. Why did you not transfer, which is, of course, so easy to do now? And he said, well, I just want to help the team any way I can. I, I'm not particularly worried about starting. I'll get in there and do my best. And also, I'm happy here in Lexington. I'm just thinking when I read that, what's to be unhappy about Lexington? There's not much to be unhappy about. And also, I just hope he didn't play much in Bahamas, but I hope C.J. Frederick has a healthy year. Goodness, he deserves it after being out the last 2 years with various injuries. And he will help with his outside shooting. In one practice in the Bahamas, he made, I think, was 61 three-pointers in 5 minutes. So that just tells you what kind of shooter he is. And also, Antonio Reeves was a pleasant surprise to me because I was of the opinion he was only a stand-up jump shooter. But he proved with his quickness that he can take the ball to the rim and can get his own shot. So I think he'll be a big addition, and which people are counting on. He, by the way, went to Simeon High School in Chicago, which is a well-known basketball school up there, and the school that Coach Cal is fond of because Coach Cal recruited Derrick Rose out of Simeon. Also, in college, he went to Illinois State, which first thing I think of is Doug Collins, who gained his reputation initially in the 72 Olympics. So it's going to be an interesting year. I see where the UK is playing their blue-white scrimmage up in Pikeville, which is, I think, a nice gesture. Got to give Cal and the guys credit. They seem to think about other Kentuckians, just like going up to help right after the big flood, and now that they're going up again, and all the money's going to the relief in the mountains. So I think that's great. Mike, why don't you tell the folks about Tom and the our other teammates?
Okay, Gary, we do have some other folks that are on our team. Tom Gray is a longtime friend of Gary's and is a fantastic statistician. He's got all kinds of facts that he'll be offering us and we'll be using. Richard Downs is our business manager, and he will be taking some of those facts and sharing them with you from week to week. And then we also have Ned Burkow, who is our technical director and doing a fine job for us. So we feel like we've got a great, great team going forward. The fact that Tom offered up today, I thought was very interesting and proved a point that I believe. I'm obviously biased, but I think the record supports me, and that I think Coach Rupp was the best basketball coach ever and deserves even more credit, even though he's no longer among the living. And what Tom did for us, he went back and took the results over Coach Rupp's career, his winning percentage, which was about 84%, and said, what if Coach Rupp had as many games to coach as these teams do now? What would his winning record be? And so matching them up and making them consistent, it showed that Coach Rupp is still the winningest coach. He has 6 more victories than Coach K. So I think it certainly helps support my argument that he's the best coach there's ever been. And that's the kind of stuff we'll be trying to bring to you. We'll also bring along, obviously, whatever's happening with the Cats, but then other little pertinent snippets. I've mentioned to you that we got a chuckle out of the College Game Day, Desmond Howard picking UK as his sleeper team to make the Final Four in college football. But after 4 games, it looks like that's a pick that's got some legs. Our quarterback, Levis, has been just fantastic. Some other things to just remember, kind of a unique game. The basketball Cats play Michigan on December 4th in London, which is obviously not a place that they normally play. That will add a little extra flair. And then you may have seen where one of our all-time greats, Jody Meeks, announced his retirement recently. We all remember fondly the 54 points he scored against Tennessee in his junior year. And some other sports notes of interest, UK and Louisville had a volleyball game recently on ESPN that produced the largest TV audience for any regular season game. So we thought that was pretty interesting that our Kentucky schools playing each other in volleyball could create that kind of interest. Another thing that you may be aware of, and you'll be hearing more about it next season, is there's been some baseball rule changes announced for next year. We're going to have a pitch clock. There's going to be limits on the shifts that you can do in the on the defensive end. You have to have two infielders on each side of the base. And then they're expanding the size of the base to make it easier to make calls and to make it safer. So obviously the pitch clock will probably be the one that creates the most consternation, but everybody feels like the game has gotten too slow and needs to be sped up. And then, of course, we got Big Blue Madness coming up. The tickets are to be distributed October 2nd, and the practice is at 7 o'clock on October the 14th. So just some little tidbits there for your enjoyment. Also want to talk each week about Coach Rupp and what a great coach he was, which I've already covered, and how intense and dedicated. And a little story, because he was not intending most of the time to be comical, but to a lot of us, he did cause a lot of chuckles because he was so intense and so focused that he just took on a presence that was larger than life. And a good example is he was out recruiting up in the mountains, and Coach Rupp loved to eat. If you studied his little rotund figure, that quickly became obvious, and he saw what looked like to him a good deal on country hams advertised at this local store. So he stopped in and purchased one, and as he set it on the counter so he could write the check, and he always wrote with quite a flair, and so he signed the check, Adolph F. Rupp, and gave it to the clerk. And he said, "Son, do you know who that is?" And the clerk looked at it and then looked at him and said, "I sure hope it's you." But he obviously didn't know who Coach Rupp was, and I'm sure that set Coach Rupp back a little bit, because he had an ego. He managed it well, but he definitely had an ego. But he was a great man, smart, well-read, successful business person, and we'll be talking a lot about him as we progress through our shows.
Talk about Coach Rupp being smart. I think a lot of people are not aware he has an MBA from a Ivy League school, Columbia, which, again, a lot of people don't know that. Also, I want to, another little story about Adolph, anecdote, whatever you want to call it, that I heard as a kid and I've always remembered. Adolph said, "Don't speak unless you can improve on silence." And I think that's a pretty good thing for all of us to remember. So that's our first show. I want to give you the email address again to give your comments or criticisms, whatever. We're always looking to improve. But it's chatwildcats@gmail.com. chatwildcats@gmail.com. And we look forward to the next podcast with you.
Thank you for listening to Kentucky Basketball Then and Now, mixed by sensational audio expert Daniel Dotridge of Atlanta Podcast Recording, with web hosting by Buzzsprout. On behalf of hosts Gary Waddell and Mike Harold, go Big Blue.